The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Well, today I'm going to talk about the presence of God, how God is present everywhere at once, yet completely distinct from his creation, how God is present in different ways and to varying degrees at different times, and what practical response we can have to an omnipresent God. Because that's what it means that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So I'm going to tell you that the presence of God is the most important thing we could be talking about today. Now, every preacher will tell you that their topic is the most important thing. I mean, that's kind of typical. You have, you know, the love of God is the most important thing. The wisdom of God is the most important. The power of God is the most important thing. It's original sin. That's the most important thing. You know, the reason for this, because if we miss out on one of these things, we might miss something about God, and we might miss the good news of the gospel. So it's important that these things are important. Another reason is that God is so big, and his attributes are so important, they're so necessary for who he is. If we miss out on his power, we miss out on his knowledge, we miss out on his presence, then we're going to miss out on who he is. All these attributes that we've been talking about in this series on everyday theology is part of who God is. Typically, though, it is just the preacher just trying to get this is the most important thing for you right now, so you can pay attention. But seriously, the presence of God is the most important thing we could be talking about today. So we're talking about the greatest possible being in existence. The one who created everything is all-powerful, all-knowing, is the source of all goodness. We got to know where this guy is. Where is he? So we can experience his goodness, we can experience his presence, and we can have a relationship with him. So let's look at what it means that God is present everywhere. So we can keep in mind that God is spirit, and that he doesn't have a body. That's really important to remember. His essence is immaterial. You know, I have another kid's book on that, but one is good for now, you know. John 4:4 says that God is spirit. When it comes to God's presence everywhere, his omnipresence is not as though God's spirit is stretched out through everywhere. It's not as though it's multiplied everywhere. And it's not as though it's divided into different parts. And so there it's everywhere. It's not expanded. He just is everywhere. And his omnipresence is really a conclusion of the fact that he knows everything and he can do anything. Because there's nothing he cannot do and there's nothing he doesn't know. If something is happening somewhere, he knows about it completely, so he's there. He can see it. He can perceive it. So let's look at a few verses from the Bible that express this great truth about God. Psalm 139:7-12. This is probably the main verse in the Bible, just expressing so completely the omnipresence or God's presence everywhere. Let me read this for you. This is Psalm 139:7-12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And these verses are just an exhaustive spread of God's presence everywhere. You have from above and below. You have from wide and far and close. You have from in the light, in the dark. Even references in a more literal translation, Sheol, or the grave. So God is even everywhere in the spiritual and physical realms. It's just, he's everywhere. And so, this is just a really important passage. It's the one I have as our memory verse as well. Where can we go? There's nowhere we can go away from the presence of God. There's another one. Jeremiah 23:23-24 tells us the same thing. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? This is a great verse, and it shows how God is both nearby and far away. He can see all things, and he fills the earth. And it's important to understand when we talk about God filling the earth, It's not as though, like, he's so big that a part of him is here and a part of him is over here and they're different parts. It's more of like if you take the ocean. The ocean is full of water and it fills, water fills the ocean. If you were to check what was in the water over here and what was over here, it would both be H2O. It would both be the same essence of water. In the same way, God is everywhere, except God's not a substance. He's a person, and he's everywhere as a person in his whole being in each place. Solomon points out the same thing after building the first temple. 1 Kings 8:27, he says, "But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built?" King Solomon understood that this temple that he made isn't going to contain the full essence of God, even though it's going to reveal his glory. It's going to show and reveal his personal presence. It's not going to represent his full omnipresence in this, because God is everywhere. He cannot be contained in a temple alone. That's a big theme throughout the Bible. It's repeated in the New Testament and Old Testament. So these are just a few passages that teach God's omnipresence in the Bible. It's important that we get this right, that we think properly about God's presence as it relates to the world in particular, because there are a lot of other views out there that have a different view of how God relates to the world and how God is present in the world. So I'm going to look very briefly at what does it not mean that God is present everywhere, because I don't want us to be confused. The biblical view, and similarly in Judaism, in Islam, is that the Creator is completely distinct from his creation while being ever-present within it. So there's no confusion between God and the universe. There are two separate things. So I want you to be aware of just some other religious beliefs and theological perspectives that treat the relationship between creator and creation differently. So an increasingly popular view of God is creation is describing deity to creation itself. So we talk about this just in slang terms. Mother Nature, whether it's the Weather Channel or the news, we're talking about Mother Nature is doing this or that. This is a very popular view. And we have a lot of movies and pop culture that actually present this view as the way things are. You have like Star Wars, Moana, Avatar, Pocahontas, really good for those Marvel fans out there. Ego from Guardians of the Galaxy really represents this idea of the divine and the creation being the same. You have the planets, the trees, the water, the force, animals, people themselves are divine. They have this divinity to them. And they're synonymous with God. So this is not the Christian view, and though it's fun to enjoy these kind of stories, I'm a big fan of some of these things, we should never confuse the Creator and the creation. This is a big, something we shouldn't do. The Creator and creation are distinct from one another. It's so important. I can't stress how important this is. So it even makes the Ten Commandments, okay? Which is like, where is that in the Ten Commandments? Like, let me show you. Exodus 20:3-4 says this. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below." See, when we confuse the Creator and the creation, we are sinning against God and breaking this commandment. We should be very careful in how we talk and how we think, and even just the things that we listen to and watch, so that we don't fall into the trap of confusing the created with the Creator. God is at work in, yet distinct from, the world. So important. Yeah, I want to tell you, I'm not sure you realize how prevalent this view is in the world. Maybe you do realize that, I don't know. But I would say it's the dominant religious idea in popular culture. I mean, that's a very bold claim. I know it is, but I would stand by that. The concepts of oneness, of Zen and Qi have these roots in pantheism, which is known as the view that all is God or everything is God, or panentheism, which just takes a step beyond that, saying that all is in God and everything is and beyond is God. Both of which deny classical theism, which is the Christian view, which teaches that the Creator and creation are distinct. I actually want you to get that. I don't know if you got that. So even though God is everywhere present with his creation, he's completely distinct from it. So it's an important question. If it is true that God is present everywhere, is it the case that we were always in the presence of God? Wouldn't it then be true that everyone is always in God's presence? But isn't the presence of God in the Bible something special and different from our everyday existence? You know, certainly unbelievers aren't in the presence of God the way that believers are, right? These are important questions. So we need to distinguish between the cosmic presence of God and the personal presence of God. So God is present everywhere, always, but he is not present everywhere in all ways. God is present in different ways at different times. So God's cosmic presence refers to his omnipresent ability to perceive and be present to all things at once. And there's nothing that he's not aware of, there's nothing that he cannot do, and he is therefore present everywhere. God's personal presence refers to how God reveals himself to people in a way that they can perceive it or benefit from it and experience it. This is sometimes called his manifest presence, his presence made known, his revealed presence. God's personal presence influences people, and God can be tangibly felt with his personal presence. This is the presence that God reveals in the temple, when God in the tabernacle, where God reveals himself to his people and is dwelling with them. And the Bible indicates how God offers his personal presence to specific groups of people. Let's look at a few examples here. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This verse shows us that God's personal presence is with the hurting. It's with the broken, the discouraged, the depressed, the lonely. He's close to them. He's near to them. His presence is a comfort to them. And whether you or yourself are experiencing personal anguish or pain or someone else, we can pray to God to experience and have his presence with us and be comforted by that. That's a really encouraging thing. God's personal presence is near the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. Listen to Isaiah 57:15. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who's contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is a great example of God's cosmic or transcendent presence in a high and holy place, and his personal imminent presence, which is actively reviving and encouraging the lowly, the self-conscious, the guilty, the repentant, the downcast, the poor, the humble. He cares about people at their worst moments, and he's with them with his personal presence. God's personal presence is with you when you're struggling in these areas. I'd say, like, I mean, think when you take these two ideas, God is with you anytime you're feeling discouraged or upset or just in a low place. And I think that's a very encouraging thing that the Bible is showing us. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And this is another group that God is near as well. Because this is good news, because this cosmic God hears those who call on him and seek him. That is why James can say in James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. We can actually draw near to the personal presence of the cosmic creator by simply talking to him, calling out to him. Let's just think about that for a second. How often could you use the all good, all wise personal presence of God in your life to have his presence be with you? All the time, we could use that. But how often do we stop and really take the time to simply call on the Lord, to call out to God, to speak to him? Whether it's through simple prayer, through worship, through meditation, through gathering together like this with believers, for the sake of fellowship in Jesus' name, we can be with God. It's by talking to him, by inviting him in. As believers, we have the promise of God's Spirit living in us every day. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Ephesians 2:22 also says, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Just like the temple and the tabernacle was a place for God to dwell with his people and his presence to be revealed amongst his people. So now we are God's temple, and God, and we have access to the personal presence of God, each of us as believers and together as a body. Just because we have God's Spirit and access to God's presence doesn't mean that we always are in God's presence and always experiencing the presence of God all the time. Because we just have access to it. That's why Paul calls on us to walk by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit every day. We can do this through prayer, through meditation, through worship, through studying God's Word, through gathering together as believers in His name. And it's really about acknowledging God's Spirit in us and around us and asking God to be with you in the name of Jesus. This is something that you can practice just anytime when you're even by yourself, even with other people, going for a walk, in your morning devotions, just starting with a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, be with me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, fill me up today. Come, Holy Spirit. We can invite God's presence to be with us every day. But we got to initiate this. It's not just gonna happen naturally. Maybe it'll take some practice every day, but we have to have faith and put that faith into action that God's Spirit is with us and lives in us. So how often have you prayed something like that before? How often have you missed out on praying that prayer before when you could have used it? Have you been experiencing transformation in your life by God's Spirit, in your walk with God? And if you're like not sure about that, I think it's a good indication that you need to spend some more time in the presence of God and enjoy His presence. May we be a church that seeks the presence of God and God's Spirit every day. So we've covered God's cosmic presence, how God is present everywhere and how He relates to creation. We've looked at God's personal presence, how God relates in special ways to humanity, how we as Christians need to spend time in the presence of God. Now, what are some practical things we can take from the doctrine of God's omnipresence? Some practical things. So I think the first thing is you are never alone. What I want you to take away from this lesson on God's omnipresence and that God is everywhere is that you are never alone. There's nowhere you can go. There's no place that you can be in mentally, physically, spiritually, where God is not there with you. And there's two ways we can understand this and apply this. The first is that this is a great comfort. This is a great comfort. No matter what we are going through, no matter how bad things get, we know that God is there. He's with us. He's not going to leave us. He sees us. He sees what we're going through. He knows about us. You know, if we belong to the people of God through Christ, we can hold on to the promises of God in the Bible that say God will never leave us or forsake us. He'll be with us through everything. So rather than just tell you that this is true, I want to just show you from God's Word and in this moment right now that this is true. So right now I'm going to read these passages in the Bible. There's just about five of them. I'm just going to read them. I just want you to listen to them, to meditate on them for a moment, and just allow this understanding of God's Word being with you. So let me read these. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. It is a great comfort to know that we are never alone and that God is with us. And maybe you need to hold on to some of those verses, whether you're writing them down, whether you're jotting them. Even if you have like the smallest inkling of a verse, you can always Google it and you will find it. It's awesome, the time we're living in right now. There's some positives I can say. So you are never alone. This also has another meaning to it. And maybe you'll understand if I say it and if you see it differently, if I'll show you. You are never alone. You are never alone. That's a little different. There's this whole other sense that we cannot escape the gaze and presence of God, the just and holy God that we are completely unworthy of. We cannot escape him. We think of God's greatness, his perfection. We become acutely aware of our own faults and our failings in our lives. We think that God is a witness to all our misdeeds, all our sins, all our outright and blatant blasphemy against God. Like we, apart from Christ, we are rebels, rebels before God and against God. Listen to this passage of what God does to those who rebel against him. I mean, this is in the Bible. This is Amos 9. I'm going to actually read it from the Bible for you, just so you know. Okay. Amos 9. Not one will get away, none will escape. Though they dig down to the depths below, from there my hand will take them. Though they climb up to the heavens above, from there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from my eyes at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent to bite them. Though they are driven into exile by their enemies, there I will command the sword to slay them. I will keep my eye on them for harm and not for good. This is a terrifying passage in the Bible. It is a terrifying passage in the Bible. You cannot run from God. You cannot hide from God. There's nothing you can do that God doesn't see. There's nothing you have done that God doesn't know about. And that gives a whole new meaning to Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? This is sobering. This is shocking to think about. Forget your sins will find you out. God already knows about your sins. They already found out. It doesn't matter. You can't keep secrets from God. You can't hide from God. We are by ourselves and nobody else knows what we are doing. God is there with us. Not only are we ignoring him, we are also spiting him with our sin. Who can escape the judgmental gaze of God? Thanks be to God for Jesus. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Jesus took the wrath. He took the judgmental gaze of God so that we don't have to. He was forsaken by God so that we will never be forsaken. When we put our trust in him, we can enjoy the presence of God that comes in the blessing of for eternity instead of judgment. There's no escape from the judgmental gaze of a holy and righteous, ever-present God, not in this life and certainly not in the next life, except for putting your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation so that you can experience the blessing of eternity forever. Now, we can be motivated by this truth, by God's constant presence with us through Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, to avoid sin. When we acknowledge his presence everywhere, we are motivated towards righteousness, holiness, and purity when we are alone. This is what builds integrity of character. And integrity is a word that is used to be your character when nobody is watching, how you act when nobody is watching. So it's one way to describe that. And to build integrity, the best way to do that is to know that God is there. God is watching. And that's going to build character in your life so that you can avoid sin. Because it's so easy to just hide things and be different people at different times. But you can't hide from God. And there's just no point in doing it anymore. But for when we fail, when we continue to sin, we can always turn to God. We can always trust in his unfailing love, in his grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. So all of us have a choice. We face this choice every day. We can either seek God's presence or forsake God's presence. Listen to 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And this verse offers really two choices. In this life, we can either seek God's presence or forsake God's presence. For those of you who have never put your faith and trust in Jesus and are living for him and living with him, you have an opportunity in this life to seek out to the giver of life, the creator, the giver of all good gifts, the source of all goodness in life and for eternal life. Isaiah 55:6-7 says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Listen to Isaiah there. Pray to the God who is there. He's listening. He sees you. He knows you. And I encourage you, if you are seeking, you are trying to understand more about God, the Bible, ask questions of the pastors here, the staff, the elders, and those that you know here. Just let's just have those conversations and be really open and vulnerable about what you're wondering about, what you're curious about, because we love to lead you to an understanding of who Jesus is and what he can do for you. Fellow believers, we can either seek the presence of God or we can forsake the presence of God. God is with you every day. You are never alone. But God wants you to experience his personal presence on a daily basis. So many times we just kind of go about our day without experiencing God's presence and just seeking it. And that's through reading the Bible, through meditating, through just spending time with God. Seek out time with God. In small ways, in mundane ways, invite God to join you and to experience the blessing of his presence. You can only benefit from it. When we understand the greatness of God, the vastness of God, the sheer incomprehensibility of an omnipresent God, we are left with a sense of awe and wonder at the mystery and majesty of God. And when we think that this great, awesome God who's far beyond any of us, greater than we could possibly imagine, that he would want us to be in his presence, to experience his presence, to enjoy his goodness and greatness forever, we can only respond with praise and worship. Listen to the psalmist wrestle with the mystery of the cosmic becoming personal. Psalm 8, 3 to 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. We are our lowly and pathetic creatures that hide from God. We don't want anything to do with him, but God shows us mercy and is mindful of us and still wants to be with us, with his personal presence. And our response is worship. I'm going to invite the worship team to start making their way up, and I'm going to continue to closing here. But subsequently, when we do gather and we worship God, we experience more of God's presence, and that spurs on more worship and more awe and wonder until we are transformed by the presence of God in our lives. So as we have this opportunity right now to respond in worship, to enter into God's presence and invite him in, I'm gonna read you the lyrics of a song that really captures this cosmic, transcendent God reaching out with his personal presence to humanity. It was written during the space race in the 60s, and I think that it's really fitting now because, you know, last week we had the first commercial flight. Some of these people debate that, but for into space, and people still try to reach beyond here. And I'm going to read these lyrics to you, and then we're going to respond in worship. Listen to this. Though man may strive to go beyond the reach of space, to crawl beyond the distant shimmering stars, this world's a room so small within my master's house. The open skies, but a portion of his yard. How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? To try and tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Remember, you are never alone. Seek the presence of God every day and worship the ever-present Creator. Let's join together in worship. I'm going to pass over to Drew. But let me pray first. Dear God, you are good. You are awesome. You are mighty. And you are the ever-present God. We invite your Spirit to stir up in us so that we can experience your presence, that we can sense your presence here today. Jesus, you're here in this room, and we want to lift you up high. We want to worship you. You are our King. You are our Lord. And we owe you everything. So receive this gift of our praise as we sing your goodness. And we just enjoy the presence of God in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.